So let's open up to Ephesians chapter 6, and we've been going through, haven't got to the armor of God yet, but we've talked a couple different weeks now about the strength we receive from the Lord, and be sure to put on the full armor of God so we can stand against the schemes of the devil. In verse 11, it's important, as I mentioned, because I'll wait for a second. Let's go ahead and start in verse 12, and I'll make that comment in a second here. So we want to read Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12.
You beat me.
For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, and against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places.
Okay, so it's important to put on the full armor of God, as it says in verse 11, to stand against the schemes of the devil, because our struggle isn't against flesh and blood. And we're going to go through a little bit here in detail of a couple of these things that we are struggling against. And kind of we'll see that there is a main origin of all of this. But so our struggle isn't against flesh and blood. And we've talked a lot about that of our kingdom spiritual, and we'll touch a little bit today again, but our struggle isn't against flesh and blood. It's not against the persecution that we receive isn't for the purpose of the main problem, I guess, when people cave to that, isn't that they're caving to a tyrant necessarily, it's that they probably are caving spiritually. And so even though there is persecution physically, our struggle isn't based in the physical persecution that we have. So in verse 12, though, it says, "But against the rulers." Now that Greek word for rulers there, actually it means a beginning or origin. Okay, let's turn over to John chapter 8. John chapter 8. Now it's translated ruler, and in the context, if the other passages were maybe the other words in verse 12 were translated a little better, it wouldn't be a problem, because it isn't rulers that it is against, but in it's the origin of something. So in John chapter 8, verse 44, so I want to read that.
Father, the devil, and you want to do the desires of your father. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him. Whenever he speaks a lie, he speaks of his own nature, for he is a liar and the father of lies.
Okay, so the word for beginning there in verse 44, he has been a murderer from the beginning, or it's the same word as rulers in Hebrews chapter, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. So it is, our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but it's against the origin or the father of lies. Okay, so it's a singular, really, is the word there that he is using there. It's not like there's a bunch of different forces in a general sense. Yes, okay. There's the Satan has his angels that do things, but when it's talking there, the origin, the one who is the father of lies, okay, the one who is the beginning of the murder, the one who is the origin of sin, is the one that Paul is talking about there that our struggle is against. Okay, and so as we're going through that, let's look at something here. Let's turn to Job chapter 1.
What do you think the translators would have used rulers there?
I'm not sure why, except for why they use rulers as plural, because maybe they think it's getting redundant if you look at the whole verse, because if you actually go into the Greek, the whole verse points back to singular Satan, not multiple. And maybe that's why they're doing that. And Satan does have angels that help out with some of that stuff, you know, to persecution and such. But I think it misses the point when you look at in the big picture of the scripture.
It really changes.
Yeah.
It can really change your mind mindset on what that verse is really trying to say, I think.
Right.
For one thing, I think it, I mean, when you say it against the rulers, I think we're going to have the tendency to think about, like, worldly rulers.
Right, right.
And that's not really at all what the
right.
what the point of this verse or this passage is even about. But,
right.
So anyway, that was just a thought, you know, that really, because,
right.
you know, you think against the rulers, like, well, what's the evil rulers of this of today?
Right. Yeah,
that's not at all that.
That's right. Yeah, and that word for beginning is, and I didn't even pay attention to that before, but that word is used in a lot of times. That's the word that's when Jesus is talked about. He is the beginning or the origin or the source of creation in Revelation. I think it's like 2. He talks about. He says, "I am the beginning of creation," and so on. He says there. It doesn't mean he was created. It means he was the origin of that. And so. I think it's important, especially when you get into the context of why it's not against flesh and blood, as we'll get to a little bit here, that it be translated and understand that that's talking about the origin of sin, because then that turns it to a spiritual, not a physical battle. And so I think that's important. And so there's probably, I don't know why they translate it, probably because when you translate something, you're trying to make it easier to understand at times. And so that's probably why they're doing that. When in some ways, sometimes it helps, but sometimes it misses the point of what it's trying to be, you know. So.
Well, and there's always a bias.
Isn't there? Yeah.
An interjection is kind of put in there.
Right.
What word did you say is the same word in
so
chapter
in
8?
John chapter 8, verse 44, he says he's been a murderer from the beginning. So the word beginning there is the same word for origin.
Oh, okay.
Or same word for rulers
okay.
in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12.
Yeah.
But that word means beginning or origin or source. And at times it's used to talk about Jesus where he says he is the beginning of creation. Doesn't mean that he was created. It means that he was the origin or the source of creation. So and on the opposite side of that, Satan is the origin of lies or the father of lies, which I mean the father is the origin of the family. So he's the origin or the father of sin. The beginning of sin would be another way to say that too. So in verse Job chapter 1, in verse 11, someone want to actually let's go back to verse 10, and someone want to read 10 through 12 actually of Job chapter 1.
Have you not made a hedge about him and his house and all that he has on every side? You have blessed the work of his hands, and his possessions have increased in the land. But put forth your hand now and touch all that he has. He will surely curse you to your face. Then the Lord said to Satan, behold, all that he has is in your power. Only do not put forth your hand on him. So Satan departed from the presence of the Lord.
Okay, so a thought that I had here when I was studying for this is, think about for a second, Satan does, if you read down a little further, you see that his oxen, or Job's oxen, all of his possessions, and eventually his children are killed by a great wind. And Satan is accusing God kind of protecting Job. And so he says, notice what he says in verse 11 though, put forth thy hand and touch all that he has. And then God granted it. So the reason that I was kind of thinking there is that Satan isn't, and more importantly, the Father, when you talk about the origin or the source of, you know, when Satan's the beginning of a murderer from the beginning, okay? Satan really doesn't have the authority outside the authority that God gives him to kill someone physically. Okay, now and this is a kind of a thought, especially in this case here. He went and asked permission, kind of, in a way. He says, put forth thy hand. See, Satan was the one who carried it out, but he said, put forth thy hand. So God was protecting, if you will. He was accusing God of protecting Job and everything that he had. And so he's telling God to, you know, put forth thy hand and take all that he has and he'll curse you. Okay, Satan didn't necessarily have authority to just go kill anybody he wanted to test them. It kind of, in some way, is given the picture here that he had to get that permission from God. But the authority that he would have would be to kill someone spiritually, when he is the father of lies, when he is the murderer from the beginning. So when Jesus is calling him a murderer from the beginning there, he is not talking about his ability just to kill off the righteous if he wants to. He's talking about the ability of deceiving and lying in order to kill someone spiritually. Okay? And so, again, when we're talking about the origin, our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but the beginning, like that word in Ephesians 6, the beginning or the origin or the source. Okay, the context is not righteous. So he's talking about our struggle is against the source of something wicked, the source of something sinful, okay, which would be Satan. So that's the authority that he would have there, because the authority to cause someone to sin, I guess they shouldn't, I mean, God does grant Satan his power, but God doesn't make someone sin. Satan doesn't go and tell God to make someone sin, to kill him spiritually, okay? Yeah, he might go and request, as it is in Job here, to remove his hand so that they could die physically, but God isn't going to move his hand so that, and make him, and God is not going to kill someone spiritually by himself, okay? But Satan is the origin of that type of murder. And so when we're looking at the origin then, and it's in a wicked context, is in Ephesians chapter 6, that means it's turning to a spiritual slaying that we're fighting. Okay? That's the origin that we're fighting is something spiritual. It's not something physical. Okay?
And I think, you know, it's a complex situation here. And it's hard to... You know, maybe I would say more God would allow him to do it, not
right.
Give him the authority to do it.
Right.
But, and the reason being, I think, still is from God's very, very origin. He wanted to have he put us here to have a relationship,
mm-hmm.
but he wanted to give us a choice. It isn't
mm-hmm.
like he wanted to make us robots. So he had to have you know, so the choice is ours,
mm-hmm.
and the devil can influence our choice. I don't think that God allows that because he wants us to have the choice.
Right.
I don't think, you know, because people go around and say, well, why did God allow that to happen? Or why did God...
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's more, he gave us a choice, and so the devil influences that choice, and he maybe allows the devil to influence that choice. He doesn't give the devil anything, I don't think, but he... And that's probably kind of a play on words a little bit.
Right.
But still, it's a more complicated than just...
Mm-hmm.
Than just looking at it on face value. I think it's because God loved us enough to give us a choice, and
right.
and so we get the choice to do it. You know? And so the devil influences that choice.
Right. And what he's giving there is God is allowing Job to be tested. But so if you look at the Greek word for authority means the power to act or for authority. So if you look at it in that way, it's not that he has given the devil authority. Even though it does kind of reference Ephesians chapter 2, that Jesus rendered powerless him who had the power over death, that is the devil, Hebrews 2:14. So Satan did have a little bit of power that God did allow him to have. He didn't, I mean, he allowing or give, I guess, would be, depending on how you looked at what give would be. You know, I mean, if he's saying God is just giving it to him so that he can do that because he wants that to happen, wouldn't necessarily be the right context, I don't think. But he is allowing Satan to have the will, the free will, because Satan also had a free will too, you know, before. And so now he's allowing everybody else to do that. So in some ways, with that, Satan has power in some way to tempt. But God also does provide a way for an escape there too. But like you say, though, it's not that God gave it to him because God liked it, but God gave free will. And so that's why, like, I mean, he doesn't like people disobeying him, but he gave free will to people to do it.
Do you think this is an isolated instance with Job? I don't know. I mean, I think he's trying to teach a lesson here. And I mean, I don't know.
So
God or the devil kind of negotiated with God. I don't know if that's
true.
Really the right way to say it either.
Mm-hmm.
But I was wondering if it was an isolated instance. Instance there to allow us to learn a lesson from what.
So you're saying specifically if it was it only happened to Job ever?
Maybe,
or,
I don't know. Maybe that's right. I don't know.
Well, I think that I think that, I guess, in the light of the New Testament, we have a better, we have more power within us than Job did. So I think that they would probably apply to us specifically, especially, not, I don't know how it would apply to anyone in the Old Testament necessarily, but it definitely is an example, you know, of there, of that, of God, of Satan bringing upon persecution physically to accomplish a spiritual goal. And so that's, again, why it's not a physical battle in flesh and blood, but the physical persecution was to accomplish something spiritual. And so that's what God is. So if you look at it that way there, that also would carry over to the church, I think, on that. So the father, the devil, is the origin of the spiritual slaying. Okay, so when we have that, then we understand back in, let's go back to Ephesians 6 real fast here. So when we look at that then of, okay, it, yeah, ruler would be a correct translation in the fact that it would be talking about the ruler of the world as in Satan, okay? But it is, it doesn't maybe quite hit exactly what it needs to hit by being translated that way, because actually if you go on, I won't get ahead here. It's the next point. So in verse 12 again, it says, not against the rulers, but against the powers and against the world forces of darkness. Now, the word for world forces means the ruler of the world. Okay, so Satan is referred to as the ruler of the world. And so when we're looking at that, it would probably be better to be translated as against the origin, meaning the origin of sin, against the power, because Satan does have power. And that actually word for power there is the word authority that we looked at this morning. It's the same Greek word that Jesus has authority to execute judgment. That's the same word there for authority or power to act upon. And against the world forces of darkness, which really is the ruler of the world, there that word means there, the ruler of this world in darkness. So the origin of sin, who has power, and he's the ruler of the world, that's who Paul is building up who the actual battle is against. Okay, it's not necessarily plural here, and even if we'll get into the next one here in a second, but I think it's important to point out there that we are against the ruler of the world, okay? Let's turn over to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. Someone want to read verse 13, please.
Who rescued us from the authority of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of the Son of his love.
Okay, so I forgot you had that translation there, which actually is the correct translation, because that word domain in New American Standard is the word authority that was in Ephesians chapter 6, and it's the same word we're looking at in John chapter 5 in the sermon today, where Jesus has authority to execute judgment. So that word authority is the power to act. So if you look at it, he delivered us from the authority of darkness or the domain. Okay, the Satan is a ruler of the world. Okay, he has a domain, he has authority, he has a kingdom. Okay, there's references to that in the scripture. And we are transferred from that, delivered from that and transferred into Christ's kingdom. Okay, so we are rescued from the devil's authority or his domain and transferred to Christ's kingdom. Let's turn over to John chapter 18. John chapter 18, verse 36.
My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then my servants would be fighting so that I would not be handed over to the Jews. But as it is, my kingdom is not of this realm.
Okay. So when you're looking here, when Jesus is saying, we're talking about Satan's kingdom and his authority versus Christ's kingdom and his authority there. And so again, not on the necessary level playing fields as far as like Jesus and the devil, but the kingdoms are at war. And so when we're looking at that, when we are, Christ's kingdom is not of the world. And so if the battle is against the devil's kingdom, that's not a physical kingdom either. Okay, so when we're looking at in Ephesians 6, then, is that there, our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but it's against the source of the one who sinned, who has the authority over the world, because he's the ruler of the world. Okay, that's the one who it is against. Now, go back to Ephesians 6 again there, and it, I think this kind of point kind of puts the nail in the coffin again of spiritual. Even though the context is still a spiritual, you can still get the point. I think it's important to point out what it is for. Okay, what is the purpose, or what is actually the battle for? In verse 12 of Ephesians 6, the last one. So it says, well, first it says against the origin of sin, or the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of darkness, or against the ruler of the world of darkness. And the last one is against the spiritual. Now, the word forces in the New American Standard actually isn't there. Okay, so it's the spiritual of wickedness, or the word, Greek word for wickedness there, is iniquity. Okay, so what he would be saying there is against the spiritual iniquity in the heavenlies, okay, or in the heavenly realm. Okay, again, pointing to something spiritual again. And what is the battle again? It's over iniquity or not. Sin or not sinning. Okay, that, so it's over something spiritual. So you go back to Satan being the father of lies and being a murderer from the beginning is a spiritual murderer, not a physical murderer. Okay, so he's killing, he's deceiving and tempting to drive people away and to kill them spiritually. And what does that? Well, sin is what did that. Okay, that's what Adam and Eve, when they sinned, that was what killed them. When we sin, that is what kills us. Okay, so that is the battle there. That is what the battle is over. So it's against the origin of the one who sinned, against his authority, against the ruler of the world of darkness, against the spiritual of sin. The spiritual, you could say forces, but against the spiritual sin in the heavenly. So that's the battle. So when we're talking about the battle there, kind of going along with this morning in the sermon, is that what is our responsibility as having authority in the kingdom of God or being children of God, is we're seeking and saving the lost. So that battle is not the physical, it's over something spiritual. It's over rescuing them from the condemnation of sin and death to bringing them to life in Christ. So the context of verse 12, talking about the devil, all of those are pointing to the devil. Who is the source of iniquity? The devil. Who is the ruler of the world? The devil. Who is the source of the spiritual wickedness? The devil. So who has the power, the authority of darkness? The devil. So that's where it goes back to understanding the actual source, even further than just some little angel or demon, if you will, trying to tempt you some way. That goes right to the source, that our battle is against the devil himself. Okay, so the church, the kingdom of God, is battling against the devil's kingdom, and we're trying to rescue people out of that. Before we move on here, we're not going to move on into Ephesians, but we're going to move on a little bit more into detail this. But anybody have any comments or questions before? Move on. Okay, so let's turn back to Daniel 10. And so to kind of put this in a little bit of perspective, a little bit more. Daniel 10. So the battle takes place in the heavenly or spiritual realm. The battle is spiritual over spiritual things, okay? And so now let's go to Daniel 10, and we're going to start, and someone want to read 2 through 6 to start with.
Food, nor did meat or wine enter my mouth, nor
Okay, so the reason I'm reading this here is because we're showing that this is an angel that has come and talked to Daniel, okay? So it's important as we go into Daniel chapter 10 here to know this is an angel that has come to reveal a message to Daniel that Daniel had a vision about, and hadn't ate anything for 3 weeks, and so this angel's coming to help him there and explain it to him. So let's skip down a couple verses to verse 13. So I want to read that, please.
But the prince of the kingdom of Persia was standing me for 21 days. Then behold, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, for I had been left there with the kings of Persia.
Okay, so Michael, the archangel here again, came to help this particular angel because he had been battled against the kings or kingdom of prince of the kingdom of Persia, or as it says here, had been left with the kings of Persia. Okay, this is not talking about Cyrus here. This is talking about the devil taking foot in the kingdoms of the world. Okay, now let's keep following here. Go down to verse 20.
Then he said, do you understand why I came to you? But I shall now return to fight against the prince of Persia. So I am going forth, and behold, the prince of Greece is about to come.
Okay, so a picture we're getting here is that the king of Persia, not talking about Cyrus because this is a spiritual realm battle that he's talking here. This angel had been fighting the prince of Persia for 3 weeks, until Michael came and helped him. Michael, also an angel. It's not talking about Cyrus then. It's talking about the devil. Okay? So the devil is going to jump Persia and move on to Greece, because Greece is the next empire that comes and overtakes Persia. Okay? Now, I'll keep following here. Satan jumps. The goal of persecution, physical persecution, is to destroy or kill someone spiritually, okay? So our battle is against the origin of sin, or the father of lies, okay? He's been a liar from the beginning, a murderer from the beginning. Our battle is against the spiritual, the authority of the ruler of the world, against the spiritual iniquity, okay? That's what our battle is against, okay? A spiritual battle. Let's turn ahead to Revelation 12. And so the reason I'm bringing this up is because sometimes it can be hard to think, well, you know, the physical persecution can seem like, well, how come I'm suffering physically if the battle's not physical? Okay, so why is this happening? So we'll get through here in a second. So in Revelation 12, verse 9, someone read that, please. Okay, so the point of this passage, this verse here, is that the dragon is the devil. Back up a few verses in verse 3, then, of Revelation chapter 12.
And another sign appeared in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon having 7 heads and 10 horns, and on his heads were 7 diadems.
Okay, so Satan here, the devil, what's a diadem? Crown, okay. So what is crowned here? Where are the crowns? Verse 3. So the dragon had seven crowns on his head. On his head, 7 heads. Okay? So Satan, the devil is crowned on his head. Okay, let's turn ahead to the next chapter, Revelation 13. Someone want to read verse 1, please.
And the dragon stood on the sand of the seashore, and I saw a beast coming up out of the sea, having 10 horns, 7 heads, and on his horns were 10 diadems, and on his heads were blasphemous
Okay, so what's crowned here? Horns. Okay, so horns is a symbol of power. Okay, so prior to the new covenant, okay, Satan, and as I think we even see that in chapter 12. But actually, let's go back there a second here before I make that point. Verse 10, it says, and I of Revelation 12, it says, "And I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, now the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ have come, for the accuser of our brethren has been thrown down, who accuses them before our God day and night." Okay, so picture this here. So prior, which Job is prior to the New Covenant, okay? Satan had access to accuse Job, and that's what he's really doing, is he's trying to say that Job is a phony. Okay, Job's a phony because you protect him. Okay, Satan had access to do that. This here is a picture of when Satan is cast out after Jesus ascends to the throne. Okay, so Satan no longer has access to be able to accuse the brethren day and night before God now. Okay, that's the picture that I'm getting here. So now Satan, since he can't do that now he's got to go through another angle, okay, which is the governments of the world. Just like he did in the Old Testament, he just hopped the government. Persia was in power. He was the prince of the kingdom of Persia. It wasn't Cyrus. Cyrus was the physical ruler, yes. But Satan would use the physical, the influence or the power of the physical nation at that time, because what did he want to do then? He wanted to stomp out the line so that Jesus couldn't come to save the people from sin. Okay, but now that Jesus has already come, now he can't stomp out any line now. Okay, so now his goal is through the governments of the world, which that's the beast, and again, I'm not going to get into too many details there, but the beast is a representation for the governments of the world. Okay, not a one world government, but the governments of the world. And so Satan is using the power that they have to persecute the church, to get them to bow the knee to them, which in turn makes them sin, which kills them spiritually. Okay, and that's if you read through chapter 13, that's what it is. We're going to read through a little bit more here. Let's go down to verse 5. So I want to read verse 5 through 8, please. 13? Yes, please. Of chapter 13.
"There was given to him a mouth speaking arrogant words and blasphemies, and authority to act for 42 months was given to him. And he opened his mouth in blasphemies against God to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle, that is, those who dwell in heaven. And it was given to him to make war against the saints and to overcome them. And authority over every tribe and people and tongue and nation was given to him. And all who dwell on the earth will worship him, everyone whose name has not been written from the foundation of the world in the book of life of the Lamb who has been slain."
Okay, so without getting too deep into the false teaching here, I do need to point something out, though. Is it one? There is one false teaching about this in this book that has the saints already in heaven and those who are on earth as being sinners. Okay, during the tribulation period, which isn't true anyway. But not going to get into that. But the logic here is that if the saints are actually physically in heaven and there's no saints on earth, how does the beast persecute them? So if that means that there is actually saints that he could persecute, the answer is really given to us in verse 6. Notice what it says there. He opened his mouth to blaspheme against God and to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle, temple of God, which is the church, that is, those who dwell in heaven. Okay, so if we are transferred from the kingdom of Satan and from his authority and transferred into the kingdom of God, we are in a spiritual or heavenly kingdom, okay? And so we are pictured as being the kingdom of heaven. That's another name for the church, right? The kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, the kingdom of Christ. But those who are dwelling on earth, what's another, we use the term all the time, those who are fleshly or earthly minded, right? But Colossians 3 talks about setting our minds on things above. So the appeal to the Christian is to keep your mind in heaven. We are dwelling in heaven in the kingdom or in the spiritual realm. Those who are dwelling on earth, their kingdom is all what they see here. Their idols are what they see here. Their gods, what they see here. That's all physical. Their mindset's on earth. And so the picture that it's getting here is that the church can get persecuted by the beast, which is the governments, okay, through the influence of Satan, because it's Satan's goal to try to destroy the church, since he wasn't successful in destroying the line of Christ to fulfill the promise to Abraham and to fulfill the promise to David. Now he's got to just try to destroy the church, which he's not going to be able to do, but that's his goal. That's why there's physical persecution, and Satan no longer has access to be able to accuse God now, or to accuse us before God now, so he has to go about trying to get us to turn away from God in a different way. And so he is through the power or the influence of, you know, we talk about physical persecution, we talk about people, you know, that make laws against the church and stuff. The battle isn't against them still. The origin of the battle is still against Satan, and that's what Paul is saying there. That he is the origin of sin. He is the ruler of the world. He has the authority that he has given to help to the beast to try and fulfill his purpose. He is the battle is against the spiritual iniquity. So it all comes back to sin or not sin, or rebellion or submission to God. Rebellion against God or submission to God, and that's what the battle's over. And so the beast persecutes the church in hope that the church falls away. But the beast isn't the origin. The devil is the origin, because it's only the beast's power that's crowned. Satan is the one who is actually crowned. Okay? The horns is, you know, if you have a you know, whether you talk about cattle, you talk about game or whatever, you know, the horns is a symbol of power. Okay, so it's their power that's crowned, because they have the authority to be able to, you know, they have the authority, they have the power physically, but Satan's trying to use that to get the church to rebel against God spiritually. Okay, so he's really the one still in control. So our battle then, if you turn back to Ephesians 6, when we are going to that, even though we have the physical persecution, even though some of that stuff happens, and contrary to another religion in the world that it's all physical deliverance from stuff, we're not going to have physical deliverance from stuff from the persecution. But that physical persecution is trying to get us to sin spiritually, and so or to sin, which is spiritual, and that's the goal of all of that. And so our struggle is not against the physical laws that are made against us, whether it's not being able to meet, or whatever, you know, the mandates of COVID or whatever it was. It wasn't against the physical nations. The source of that was Satan trying to disrupt and trying to persecute the church some way. So it all leads back to the origin. All leads back to the father of lies. And so in order to, you know, if you're a gardener, if you just cut off the weed, you don't get to the source of the problem, because the weed grows still until you pull the root out, until you know what, you know, you can just keep cutting the weed off, and it's still coming back, because you're not getting rid of the origin. You're not getting rid of the source of the problem. And so in order to battle against the source of the problem, or against the problem, we have to know where the source is. And so it's important for us to have that picture, I think, that our struggle, and that's why it's important to put on the full armor of God. Because we're able to stand against the schemes of the devil, because he is the source and the origin of all the persecution that we have, and all the struggles that we're going to have, and all the battles that we're going to have, and he's going to be fighting against us when we have the authority and responsibility to seek and save the lost and to save those out of the fire. He's fighting against us, so we have to know what that is. It's not the physical government, it's Satan. So I think it's important for us to have that picture there, because our battle is spiritual over spiritual things. Even though there is persecution physically, it's still a spiritual battle. Does anybody have any comments or anything on that?
Well, kind of going back to the book of Job there, and we talked a little about the reasons, you know, what was the purpose for that? And I think it can show a few different things. And one of them is that, you know, God, you know, Satan accused God basically of, you know, you're protecting Job, that's the only reason he's faithful to you. Mm. And God lifted that protection and Satan, I mean, really annihilated him physically, mm-hmm. and Job never cursed him.
Right.
And Job had the choice.
Right.
You know, God didn't just force Job to just continue to be faithful.
Mm-hmm.
And in the end, we saw where Job was, you know, he was restored, and his fortunes were, you know, increased greatly. And I think that's a lesson for us as people to understand that with faith, God is going to do, you know, give us great things.
Mm-hmm.
But also, I feel like that's a lesson that for Satan as well that he didn't understand. Because
yeah.
he showed Satan a man that was faithful,
mm-hmm.
and no matter what you did to him, he was going to remain, you know, his faith yeah. was going to come through.
Yeah.
And, you know, Satan continues to try to attack the faith of people to tear them down or to get them to curse God.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, that, you know, and he's going to attack through, you know, all these different ways that we've talked about.
Mm.
And Satan, you know, is a liar and a deceiver, and he truly doesn't believe that God can do what he says that he can do.
Mm.
Because if he did, I don't think he'd be fighting against it.
Yeah.
So he's continually trying, you know, like you said, from, you know, he had his methods in the old covenant,
mm.
but now in the new covenant, those don't work. So now, you know, he's adapted his tactics
mm-hmm.
to try to, you know, to kill spiritually, because killing physically doesn't accomplish what he needs
right.
or what he wants. So he attacks spiritually. And in a sense, that's what he was attacking Job for as well.
Right.
He, you know, he attacked him physically, trying to get him to, you know, spiritually
mm-hmm.
die, you could say, or,
right.
you know, to become unfaithful. So
right. That was the goal.
That was his, mm-hmm. you know, the goal there with in Job was the same that he has now,
mm-hmm.
is to try, you know, because no matter how much stuff you attack worldly or physically, until Satan can kill somebody spiritually, he doesn't prevail.
Right.
And sadly, I mean, he does prevail at times.
Mm-hmm.
But overall, the whole picture, he's not going to prevail over the church.
Right.
Just like he didn't prevail over Job, you know, in that example we had there. But in my mind, you know, I don't believe Satan thinks that, though. Because truly, if he thought that he could prevail, I don't know if he'd continue to try.
Right.
Because if he truly knew that God was going to win and was going to destroy him, I mean, who wants to keep going ahead
right.
with that? It just doesn't make sense for, mm-hmm. for somebody to do that.
Yeah, and so it does talk about that when he's released, he does only have he only has a short time. But I don't know. I guess there's things he doesn't understand spiritually, though.
So,
I mean, especially when, because it does talk about in 2 Corinthians where Jesus, if they knew what it meant to kill Jesus, they wouldn't have killed him.
Right.
And so that's why you get the picture in Revelation 12 that after the child is caught up there, then the Satan is enraged, because, and so he goes and persecutes the offspring, which is individual Christians. So as opposed to before, where you know you're still trying to kill the lion, that's kind of the goal of you know any sin. So what happens when a nation sinned against God? They were destroyed. But there still was a remnant through Israel there, the physical descendants of Abraham, to get to Jesus. And that's why they were spared all the time. That's what Galatians 3 tells us, that they were added until the seed came, until Jesus came. And so after that, then, now, like you say, now he's enraged because now he has a different battle, and now he's made a big mistake according to his plan and killed Jesus, and now it's set this whole thing where Jesus said it's finished. There's nothing that Satan can do about it now,
right.
even though he tries to get the offspring.
And I think Satan does understand that it is a spiritual battle too.
Right.
I
mean, oh yeah.
You know, mm-hmm. that's what Ephesians 6 is speaking to, because
mm-hmm.
he understands yeah. that's the end. That's where he
right.
has to attack
right.
in the end. But
mm-hmm.
he does it through physical means.
Right.
I guess.
Yeah. And even with Job, so that's like with Job. That's why he was trying to get him to
right.
curse. But that doesn't mean curse. That word doesn't. That word means that when you look in the Hebrew, it means he was trying to get Job not to kneel before God. And so it's not necessarily doing a 360 and cursing God. It was that he was just dealing a little less than what he should be doing.
Yeah.
You know, and then with us having the Holy Spirit within us to help us, we have, you know, kind of going back even to Dad's comment before, you know, is it just isolated or is it something that passes on? Well, Job didn't have the Holy Spirit to help him through that. And there was something that he did to Job, but we have the Holy Spirit. But I'm sure that there's that same trials that are going through, you know, because because there's always that choice of, you know, when you're on the getting ready to be lit up for Nero's dinner parties as a Christian, you know, there's always that physical choice there whether you want to bow the knee to God or bow the knee to Nero, you know. And so there's that choice there of complete destruction physically is given, and whether someone kneels to God or not is the choice that they had to make there and stuff. And so, well, you know, we had the same choice too. But
and then I guess
good
second half of my comment.
Sure.
You know, speaking to the authority that Satan has, you know, for evil.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you often hear you thinking, well, why would God, a loving God, give him authority?
Mm-hmm.
To, you know, for evil or for sin or for, you know, iniquity. But if God didn't, and I think we view authority sometimes not incorrectly as well, a little bit too. But if God didn't give somebody authority for that, then that, in a sense, takes away our free will.
Right.
Because if there's no authority or nobody to you know, enact these, you know, wickedness or evilness, it probably wouldn't be here.
Mm-hmm.
And then we wouldn't have the choice to choose God or to choose worldly things. So he,
right.
In a sense, I feel like he gave Satan that authority, and by doing so, he forces us to choose, you know, not forces, but then we have to choose, and then the people that truly want to follow him will follow him.
Right.
Because if there was nothing bad ever that happened, people wouldn't do bad things.
Right.
And again, then we'd just kind of be robots.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think, you know, Satan does have a certain, you know, authority or power to execute these evil things.
Right.
You know, and that kind of allows us to have the choice then.
Right. It kind of, when you said that, Brandon, it kind of reminded me of, I think it was Caleb Wilson, his devotion at Montana Family Camp last year, brought up an example of when he was at, when he worked at a restaurant, I don't remember where it was, but some of the other friends there that he had, fellow workers, I should say, always wanted him to get to go drinking, you know, or partying with them. And they would always make comments like, you know, you're so you enslave yourself or you restrict yourself. But Caleb made the point that it's really them that are enslaved, you know. And so we sit, you talk about authority. We think, well, we're so free and don't have no one over us when we're doing whatever we want. But really we're not. We're still under the authority of sin. We're still under the authority of something because we can't get away from it. We're still a slave to that authority. And so we don't necessarily have the right view of authority sometimes because it's, well, if I can do whatever I want, no one's telling me what to do. Well, you're really fulfilling not what you want to do. You're fulfilling the desire of the flesh, you know. And so you're still under authority there and slave to it. So I think that's, whether it's of Satan or whether it's of God, we have the choice there. And so the authority that he's got there to do that is so that he can, so that we have the free will still to choose. We choose either to kneel to God or to kneel to Satan.